From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to this Tuesday edition of Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Coming up, while a lot of the focus here in Washington lately has been on government shutdowns, border security, the unbelievable push for infanticide, and attempts to remove God from the oath that witnesses take on Capitol Hill, there are some in Congress actively using what some describe as a reverse religious test to try and disqualify people of faith from serving in the public square, especially on the courts. Senator Mike Lee of Utah, a constitutional expert, is here with more on this disturbing trend. And speaking of religion, President Trump last week at the National Prayer Breakfast underscored the importance of religious freedom and ensuring that people are free to act according to their faith as they serve others, especially in the area of adoption. Congressman Mike Kelly of Pennsylvania will drop by about his new bill that does just that, protects faith-based foster care and adoption agencies from religious discrimination. And at the bottom of the hour, I'll talk in studio with our own Alexandra McPhee, the author of a new Family Research Council report entitled Rebels Without a Cause, when senators run roughshod over the no religious test clause of the U.S. Constitution. And, of course, we will be taking your phone calls a little bit later here on Washington Watch. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at T Perkins. All right. By the way, let me remind you, we had talked about this with Congressman Mike Johnson, I think last week, maybe the week before that, about an upcoming seminar that he and I will be doing in Shreveport, Louisiana, First Baptist, Bossier. That's going to be actually February the 24th. We had thought that was going to be on the 23rd. It's actually going to be Sunday evening, the 24th. So if you like more information about that, like to be a part of that, it's from 4 p.m. to 9 p.m., go to TonyPerkins.com and follow the links over. All right. Democrat Senator Cory Booker of New Jersey has, and now he's declared his presidential candidacy. He had the audacity to question a judicial nominee, Naomi Raul, about whether she, as a Catholic, thought that homosexual behavior was a sin. Now, Raul is President Trump's nominee to replace Brett Kavanaugh on the U.S. Court of Appeals for the D.C. Circuit. I want you to hear this exchange that took place with him. Play clip one.
Are gay relationships, in your opinion, immoral?
Senator, I'm not sure, you know, the relevance of that to, you know, I mean,
I think relevant your opinion. If you think African-American relationships are immoral, do you think gay relationships are immoral? Do you personally believe that gay relationships?
No, I do not.
You do not believe that?
No.
Do you believe they're a sin?
Senator, you know, my personal views on any of these subjects are things I would put to one side and I would faithfully follow.
So you're not willing to say here that whether you believe it is sinful for two men to be married. You're not willing to comment on that?
Yes, you know, Senator, no.
Excuse me?
I'm sorry?
I didn't hear your response.
My response is that these personal views are ones that I would put to one side, whatever my personal views are on this subject.
Now, again, this is New Jersey Senator Cory Booker. This just happened last week. Not getting a lot of attention because there's so much else happening here in Washington, D.C. I mean, you've got Democratic governors pushing for infanticide. But this is kind of Cory Booker's line, if you will. I take it back to April of 2018 when Mike Pompeo, nominated by President Trump to serve as Secretary of State, already had been confirmed to serve as director of the CIA. He was asked multiple times by Cory Booker during the confirmation hearing, do you believe gay sex is a perversion? Now, Senator, Mike Pompeo, you know, just, I mean, what are you going to say? And he just kept on and was saying, look, I respect all people. In fact, it's a textbook example of how this should be handled from the way Mike Pompeo did it. But Cory Booker continued asking those questions. And, of course, you've got Senator Feinstein, who went after Judge Amy Barrett in September of 2017, talking about the dogma, her Catholic faith, that lives so loudly within her. But last week, when this attack began on this latest nominee, Naomi Raul, two of the senators on the committee took issue with it, one of them being Senator Ted Cruz. Let's play the clip from clip number two from Senator Ted Cruz.
Senate Judiciary Committee should not be a theater for mischaracterizing or twisting nominees' records or views, nor should it be an avenue for persecution. We've seen a growing pattern among Senate Democrats of hostility to religious faith. I have to say I was deeply troubled a few minutes ago to hear questioning of a nominee asking your personal views on what is sinful. In my view, that has no business in this committee. Article 6 of the Constitution says there should be no religious test for any public office. We have also seen Senate Democrats attack what they've characterized as religious dogma. We've seen Senate Democrats attack nominees for their own personal views on salvation. I don't believe this is a theological court of inquisition.
Yeah, I really don't think the Democratic senators want to go there. What is sin? I don't think they have enough committee time to deal with that. But Senator Ted Cruz was not the only senator to weigh in on this. Also, Mike Lee, senator of Utah, who happens to be a constitutional attorney, he pushed back on this as well. Here's what he had to say.
The problem with asking a nominee about the particulars of his or her religious beliefs is that those questions inevitably expose those beliefs as somehow a qualifier or a disqualifier for public office. That is flatly inconsistent with at least the spirit, if not also the letter, of at least two provisions of the Constitution. I cannot fathom why this would ever make sense to do. There was a time in this country when people might have been asked in a job interview context or in the context of a hearing like those we hold here, whether someone believed in God, whether they were Christian. When they might have been asked those, it was not for a good reason, because there is never a good reason in a public setting to ask that question, save perhaps if you just want to make sure that that person's religious beliefs do not require that person to betray the judicial oath. Beyond that, I can't fathom a circumstance in which that would be appropriate. So I would ask Senator Hirono, in what circumstance, in what way, shape, or form, is asking Naomi Raul whether she believes particular conduct to be sinful an appropriate question to be asked in this committee, ever?
These probing questions, if you were to list all of the questions that we ask, they have to do with whether or not these nominees very strongly held religious views, as well as any other views that may not enable them to be objective as judges in lifetime positions. I think that's a legitimate area of inquiry. And it is not that we all ask, do you think such and such is a sin, et cetera, et cetera. Although,
well, that was asked that this week. This week it was asked. I'm not making this up.
And joining us now on the Washington Watch hotline is Senator Mike Lee himself, calling from the Capitol. Senator, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you very much, Tony. It's good to be with you.
We've just been discussing, playing clips from the recent hearing with Naomi Raul, and how she was the inquiry about whether or not she thought such behavior was sin, and the fact that you and Senator Cruz pushed back on this. But this is a disturbing trend that I think is very dangerous. Explain what's taking place on Capitol Hill when it comes to this religious test.
I think the two words you use to describe it, disturbing and dangerous, are both accurate. Look, I'm in my ninth year of service in the United States Senate, and I've served on the Judiciary Committee that entire time. I have never, until the last few months, seen on any regular basis questions like this come up, with someone asking whether certain conduct is sinful. And if you think about it, Tony, that's the kind of question that is uniquely likely to target religious believers, because if somebody doesn't believe something is a sin, they may not be a believer. It's much easier to castigate somebody or to make someone feel or look isolated if you focus on their religious belief about something being a sin. It's one of the reasons why I think that question is so wildly inappropriate, unless perhaps if you're asking whether someone could be objective and is willing to apply the law on its basis. But that doesn't appear to be what they were doing here.
Senator Lee's joining us from the cloakroom on the Capitol Hill, the Senate working on the floor there. Senator, in a way, this is kind of a reverse religious test. I mean, used to, you know, one of the things that the founders wanted to guard against when we set up the federal government was that no one had to subscribe to a certain religious view in order to hold office. Now, it appears that if you hold to a religious view that is orthodox in its teaching, that there are those that want to exclude you from serving.
Yes, that's right. And that's one of the reasons why when I raised this point in our Judiciary Committee meeting the other day, I brought up the fact that there was a time in our country when questions like that might have been common in a job interview or even in a Senate confirmation hearing. The questions, that is, about someone's religious belief. The hope was that some of the people in the room who thought these questions were appropriate would get it when they understood that perhaps this might have exposed non-believers or non-Christians to ridicule in times past if these questions were asked. They didn't appear to latch onto that. But you're exactly right. It's one of the reasons why we have a religious test ban in the Constitution, one of the reasons why we have an equal protection clause, and why we have a free exercise clause in the Constitution. It's also, I would add, one of the reasons why we have Rule 610 of the Federal Rules of Evidence, which in a courtroom context expressly prohibits the use of evidence of a witness's religious beliefs or opinions, and declares those things to be not admissible to attack or to support a witness's credibility. It's not something that is fair game to bring up in public, in the public square, for a public purpose.
Senator, one final question. We're almost out of time, but in your opinion, when you describe this trend that is beginning to occur, is it the intent, you believe, for some on the other side of the aisle to exclude people of faith from serving in positions such as on the court?
I doubt very highly that any of them would acknowledge, either publicly or privately, that that's what they're trying to do. They probably don't even think subjectively that that's what they're doing. But I do fear that their asking of these questions perhaps reflects a certain skepticism of those with whom the dogma runs deep, as they might put it. And that is itself troubling enough. The fact that they think that there is enough cause for concern when somebody holds deeply to their religious beliefs, when they're willing to acknowledge that there are some things that, while not unlawful, that might not be smiled on by Almighty God. That is of great concern to me, and I think that's one of the reasons why we've got to nip this in the bud when they ask questions like that. We've got to push back on them hard and say, this is none of your darn business. What somebody believes privately is not the business of the public.
And I would say dangerous to our republic. Senator Mike Lee, thanks so much for joining us. Appreciate you stepping off the Senate floor to talk with us.
Thank you very much.
All right, and keep up the great work. Senator Mike Lee of Utah, pushing back on those who want to, whether intentionally or not, exclude people of faith from serving in public. All right, when we come back, the opposite happens to be the case with the president, who says we need people of faith to be involved because they're motivated by their faith to serve, especially in the area of foster care and adoption. But there are those, again, who want to exclude people of faith. Congressman Mike Kelly of Pennsylvania joins us next. Don't go away.
Myth and folklore have influenced our civilization for centuries. Some of these myths can be wondrous tales of fantasy that inspire us from childhood, such as unicorns and the ever-beloved elf on a shelf. Others, however, can be detrimental to our well-being, from the Loch Ness Monster to big tax refunds. Today, the myths surrounding abortion have become part of such vexations that plague our society. Since 1973, these abortion myths have grown a substantial foothold in developing a climate of fear, misinformation, and a culture of death in the United States. In FRC's new analysis, learn whether most Americans support abortion on demand, and if a fetus does in fact feel pain in the womb. Join us as we debunk these myths and find the truth to secure a future for the culture of life. Visit frc.org/myths.
Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins' Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. This daily update from Family Research Council is our flagship publication, an update with the latest pro-family take on Washington's hottest issues. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. Are evangelicals showing up at the polls? Are faith-based adoption providers persecuting same-sex couples? The left and the media love to answer these questions for you. Let FRC remove the spin and give you real answers with the Washington Update. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to other free resources, go to frc.org/connect. That's frc.org/connect.
The world on our horizon isn't like the days I knew. Gone are the days of writing with fresh ink on thick paper and the swift crack of a letter opener. Homemade meals now replaced by fancy robots trying to figure out how often I buy organic goji berries. I don't even know what a goji berry is. My church started offering free Wi-Fi and changed their name from First Baptist to Radiant Water Life something or other. They even started posting video sermons recorded on wood pallet backgrounds that sync directly to a Dropbox that I have yet to locate. Thankfully, there's a silver lining to all this newfangled technology. Family Research Council's Stand Firm app. Put down your quill and contact your legislators directly from your smartphone or tablet. Share legislative alerts with your contacts and connect with like-minded Christians about the latest current events. Read the Washington Update and listen to Washington Watch with Tony Perkins. This thing's got it all, buddy boy. Keep your cool and help secure our future at frc.org/app.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. So glad to have you with us. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it's at TPerkins. All right, as we were just talking about this hostility toward religion that we've seen on Capitol Hill with senators asking questions about people's deeply held beliefs, making comments about the dogma that's within them. You know, it's not contained to Capitol Hill. I mean, we see groups like ACLU. They've filed suit in one particular case in the state of Michigan against the state for having a partnership with St. Vincent Catholic Charities. Now, the Catholic Charities, like they do in other states, place children up for adoption in foster care. In this particular case, they do older foster kids, sibling groups, and kids with special needs with parents who share their worldview. Now, these are hard to place. And at the National Prayer Breakfast last week, President Trump cited the important work of these faith-based adoption agencies and his commitment to protect them. In fact, one of these families that he pointed out was a sibling group of five that was placed. Oh, here's what he had to say. In fact, I just want to play this clip. Let's play clip number five.
We will always protect our country's long and proud tradition of faith-based adoption. My administration is working to ensure that faith-based adoption agencies are able to help vulnerable children find their forever families while following their deeply held beliefs.
Joining us now is Republican Congressman Mike Kelly, who represents the 16th Congressional District of Pennsylvania. He's the ranking member of the House Ways and Means Committee, and he is doing exactly what the president committed to do. He's introduced the Child Welfare Provider Inclusion Act. Congressman, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Oh, thanks so much, Tony. Thanks for having me.
Well, that was a big boost that the president gave, both supporting your legislation and underscoring the need for it.
Yes, I think this administration, more than any in the past, has really recognized just how under fire some of our faith-based agencies are. And I think this really highlights, you made a comment just before you played that clip, the attack on people of religion, people of the faith-based community, is just off the charts right now. And keep in mind, the piece of legislation that we're talking about is called the Inclusion Act, not the Exclusion Act. It absolutely does not say in any way, it doesn't ban anyone else from being involved in adoptive care or foster care, but it is saying, why are we singling out the faith-based community, the people who first started long ago adoptive and foster care, and saying, no, because of their deeply held religious beliefs, they can't participate. They won't get any federal funds to help them get through that. And, you know, we've already seen it in Illinois and Massachusetts, California, and in Washington, D.C. right here, the effect it has. Governor Wolf in Pennsylvania just enacted this exclusion also for faith-based families not to participate. And in Philadelphia, that's already taken place. This will eliminate the ability of the faith-based community to participate in adoptive care and foster care. It's absolutely one of the, to me, one of the most overreaching things that the community is facing.
Yeah, and I want to underscore what you just said. This is not about excluding anyone. So, and this boils down to really one thing. And the states that have, or the cities that have taken action against these faith-based providers, is that they would not place children in relationships that are inconsistent with the teachings of their faith, meaning
yeah.
same-sex marriage or even singles or whatever, so or people living together, because they operate according to their faith. Now, what your policy does or what your measure does, if it were to be signed into law, doesn't say that other adoption providers can't place in same-sex homes or in different configurations of family. It just says that those that are operating by their faith cannot be excluded because they're operating by their faith.
Yes, and this is part of what we're seeing right now in the hypocrisy of what people say and what they actually mean when they say it. It's not enough for the faith-based people to say, look, we understand that people have different feelings and people have different views on this, but for us in the faith-based community, we have these deeply held religious beliefs that we believe that a child should go into a loving home made up of a mother and a father, not the same-sex marriage. And we're saying, but that we're not saying that you shouldn't be able to offer that service. We're just saying, don't exclude us. It's called the Inclusion Act for a reason.
Right.
We have so many children now because of what's going on in our culture and what we've
right.
seen, where so many children now are at risk. It's inconceivable to me. And I'm watching it. Listen, we've seen so much, Tony, my goodness, the last couple of weeks with the governor of Virginia explaining how a child would be kept comfortable until the mother and her doctors decided whether that child who survived an abortion, if she wanted to, they would resuscitate the child and the infant and allow it to live. It's chilling. And the way these people talk with some of these beliefs, it is so cold and it's so inhumane. I mean, I hear people talking all the time about what's happening at the border and children being ripped from their mother's arms and put in these detention homes. I said, what about the babies that are being ripped from their mother's wombs? What are we talking about? Why do we have such a double standard? It has been, in my 70 years, I have never seen it as polarized as it is to now, and how there's just absolutely no give on the other side with this. This is no, unless you believe firmly in what we believe, unless you follow what we say, you can't participate. And the end of the day, this is about children. This is about putting children in a loving home with a mother and a father who are going to be committed to their well-being and their upbringing, and saying, no, because you don't. You don't believe what we believe entirely. You can't participate. All we're saying is no. Please exclude nobody. Include everyone.
And you're absolutely right. The focus should be on the children. And
absolutely.
In many of these cases, these are hard to place children, and these are organizations that have relationships with people of faith who are willing to open their homes and their hearts to these children. Congressman, we're out of time. I want to thank you for your leadership on this, and we're going to continue to watch this because, as you said, the need is great.
Tony, thank you so much. We're not walking away from this.
All right. Congressman Mike Kelly of Pennsylvania. To find out more, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. And by the way, the problem with the opioid crisis, I had no idea how that is contributing to the demand in the foster care world. The problem is acute. All right. We're going to continue on this religious liberty test that's being used. That's coming up next.
Myth and folklore have influenced our civilization for centuries. Some of these myths can be wondrous tales of fantasy that inspire us from childhood, such as unicorns and the ever-beloved elf on a shelf. Others, however, can be detrimental to our well-being, from the Loch Ness Monster to big tax refunds. Today, the myths surrounding abortion have become part of such vexations that plague our society. Since 1973, these abortion myths have grown a substantial foothold in developing a climate of fear, misinformation, and a culture of death in the United States. In FRC's new analysis, learn whether most Americans support abortion on demand, and if a fetus does in fact feel pain in the womb. Join us as we debunk these myths and find the truth to secure a future for the culture of life. Visit frc.org/myths.
Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins' Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. This daily update from Family Research Council is our flagship publication, an update with the latest pro-family take on Washington's hottest issues. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. Are evangelicals showing up at the polls? Are faith-based adoption providers persecuting same-sex couples? The left and the media love to answer these questions for you. Let FRC remove the spin and give you real answers with the Washington Update. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to other free resources, go to frc.org/connect. That's frc.org/connect.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website, tonyperkins.com. All right, recent Senate confirmation hearings have revealed a troubling pattern, as we were discussing earlier with Senator Lee of Utah. Questioning proposed candidates, nominees, about their religious beliefs. Now, it's interesting that a lot of these people doing the questioning happen to be potential presidential nominees, and they're, I don't know, maybe wanting to throw a Christian or two to the lions to try to get the crowd all on their feet. But this is a real problem. And it is, not only is it unconstitutional, but it is, as I said earlier, it's dangerous to our republic. And it's designed, I think, to intimidate people of faith. But I'm going to talk more about that in a minute. But joining me now in the studio to talk about a new report that the Family Research Council has, it's an issue brief we've just released, Rebels Without a Cause, When Senators Run Roughshod Over the No Religious Test Clause of the U.S. Constitution. And joining me now is Alexandra McPhee, who actually put this together. Alexandra, welcome to Washington Watch.
Good evening, Tony.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about what this report highlights.
This report is really meant to spotlight the disturbing trend we saw among senators who have been interrogating judicial nominees as well as nominees for other executive positions about their religious beliefs and affiliations with faith-based organizations. And it's really been a pattern that has escalated since June 2017 when we saw Senator Sanders really attack a candidate for the Office of Management and Budget, Russell Vogt. And since then, it has been 10 nominees in just under 2 years, up to even last week, as we saw with Naomi Rao.
Well, actually, I have that clip of the exchange that took place between Bernie Sanders and Russell Vogt, a really good guy. So let's play that clip. Bobby, you got that clip? Okay. Well, we're going to come back to that clip here in just a minute because I just pulled that up because it's very instructive. But as Alexandria, as you said, that was kind of the first round. But it's almost like it's become popular now for those on the Democratic side of the aisle to throw a bone to their base.
Oh, absolutely. That's exactly what this is. And really, Senator Cory Booker is a great example of this because in last week's hearings for the judicial nominee, without any prompting whatsoever, without any indication that this particular nominee had any evidence, any hostility towards those who adhere to a homosexual lifestyle, he asked her, what do you believe homosexuality is a sin? And do you believe homosexuality is immoral? And he would not stop with that line of questioning until she finally cowed.
Yeah, as I mentioned, we actually played a little bit of that clip. He did the same thing to Mike Pompeo back in April of last year. All right, we've got that clip. This is Bernie Sanders and Russell vote. Russell was tapped for a budget, office of budget. Here's the exchange.
You wrote, quote, Muslims do not simply have a deficient theology. They do not know God because they have rejected Jesus Christ, his son, and they stand condemned, end of quote. Do you believe that that statement is Islamophobic?
As a Christian, I believe that all individuals are made in the image of God and are worthy of dignity and respect, regardless of their religious beliefs.
Are you suggesting that all of those people stand condemned?
Senator, I'm a Christian.
I understand you are a Christian. This nominee is really not someone who is what this country is supposed to be about.
Other than the music that was in the background there, that is how it unfolded on the in the Senate committee, and it was Bernie Sanders became irate because Russell Vogt refused to in any way backtrack or step back from his beliefs as an evangelical Christian. I mean, how does this mesh with the Constitution?
It doesn't. In short. The constitutional issue comes up with Article 6, and in that clause, it says that no individual, no nominee should be face a religious test for public office. And what a lot of these senators have done is really violate the spirit, if not the text, of that provision by probing nominees about their theology, their congregation memberships, their affiliation with faith-based organizations, and only to cast these nominees in a discriminatory light and to portray them as unqualified for office when, in fact, we want people with integrity and with honesty, which are values that come from religious convictions.
Now, Alexander, this, if we go back and look at this, and I mentioned this with Senator Lee, the religious test, the Article 6 of the Constitution, when the 13 colonies, many of them had religious tests. They were up against a break. And here's what I want to talk when we come back. You're not going anywhere. I got the door locked, so you're just saying. when the colonies were there, they had religious tests. You had to be a certain faith. You had to, even some required you had to believe in the Trinity. And so when the federal government was established, they said, all right, look, for all of us to get along, there can be no religious test. So you didn't have to state that you were a part of a certain church or you had some kind of particular theological holding. But now it appears that it's been reversed, so that if you do subscribe to a particular belief or if you are a part of a certain church, you're going to be excluded. So I want you to answer that when we come back. All right, folks, you're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. Don't go away. Going to continue this discussion after the break.
The world on our horizon isn't like the days I knew. Gone are the days of writing with fresh ink on thick paper and the swift crack of a letter opener. Homemade meals now replaced by fancy robots trying to figure out how often I buy organic goji berries. I don't even know what a goji berry is. My church started offering free Wi-Fi and changed their name from First Baptist to Radiant Water Life something or other. They even started posting video sermons recorded on wood pallet backgrounds that sync directly to a Dropbox that I have yet to locate. Thankfully, there's a silver lining to all this newfangled technology. Family Research Council's Stand Firm app. Put down your quill and contact your legislators directly from your smartphone or tablet. Share legislative alerts with your contacts and connect with like-minded Christians about the latest current events. Read the Washington Update and listen to Washington Watch with Tony Perkins. This thing's got it all, buddy boy. Keep your cool and help secure our future at frc.org/app.
Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins' Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. This daily update from Family Research Council is our flagship publication, an update with the latest pro-family take on Washington's hottest issues. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. Are evangelicals showing up at the polls? Are faith-based adoption providers persecuting same-sex couples? The left and the media love to answer these questions for you. Let FRC remove the spin and give you real answers with the Washington Update. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to other free resources, go to frc.org/connect. That's frc.org/connect.
Myth and folklore have influenced our civilization for centuries. Some of these myths can be wondrous tales of fantasy, from unicorns to the ever-beloved elf on a shelf. Others, however, can be detrimental to our well-being. Today, the myths surrounding abortion have become part of such vexations that plague our society. In FRC's analysis, 10 Myths on Abortion, join us as we debunk these myths and find the truth to secure a future for the culture of life. Visit frc.org/myths.
Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins' Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to our other free resources, go to frc.org/connect.
I'm Tony Perkins, and this is Washington Watch. The website is tonyperkins.com. And by the way, at tonyperkins.com, you can get your own copy. You can download a copy of this, Rebels Without a Cause, when senators run roughshod over the no religious test clause of the U.S. Constitution. And Alexandra McPhee is my guest. She is a part of our team here at the Family Research Council and our Center for Religious Liberty. Okay, Alexandra, we were discussing before the break about how the Article 6 of the Constitution originally was designed because people were required to have a certain holding in faith. They had to be associated with a particular church, a certain theological holding, in order to hold office back in the colonial times in the colonies. The federal government said, we're not going to have a religious test. We're going to get along as a people. But today, this religious test is not that you can only hold a position if you have a faith. It's almost as if the Democratic Party is saying you can't hold a position if you actually have a faith and it influences the way you live.
Absolutely. And we really have to ask ourselves what the state of our nation is when elected officials feel comfortable suggesting that a nominee is less qualified for office because they have deeply held religious convictions. And the fact of the matter is, faith informs all aspects of one's life. And what these senators do is not only reject the principles that many Americans hold. I mean, these are orthodox beliefs in the sanctity of marriage and life. They also push back on the notion that faith can be something that one carries with them into everything they do, including their profession.
And as an evangelical Christian, I mean, that's what the Scripture teaches us. The Word is applicable to every aspect of our lives. In fact, the Scripture says whatever you do, whether you eat or drink, and if eating and drinking is of concern to God, where it says that whether you eat or drink, do all unto the glory of God, if eating and drinking is important to Him, then certainly how we carry out our professional life and our career would be of importance to Him.
That's right. And another concerning thing is the fact that there are certain faith-based organizations that were called out, particularly by Senator Hirono and Harris and many senators, others who called out the Knights of Columbus and Alliance Defending Freedom. These are groups that have multiple positive contributions to the community. The Knights of Columbus has over 1 million members, and they actively participate in charitable services. Alliance Defending Freedom is a well-respected religious liberty law firm that has multiple wins at the United States Supreme Court. Yet for these senators, that's of no concern because of the simple fact that they have faith-based values.
So, Alexandra, how can folks use this issue brief, this paper that they can find at TonyPerkins.com? How can they use this?
We really want this brief to be seen as proof that this is not just a one-off coincidence. We're seeing a pattern of questioning really aims to discredit nominees because of beliefs. And we want this tool to be something that people can use to put names to offenses, to know who exactly is perpetrating these unhealthy ideas about religion and take that to the voting polls.
Yeah, and also, I mean, when you look at these lists of names of these senators, this would be a great thing to use if you happen to live in their state and they happen to be your senator. You can ask them about why they're wanting to apply a religious test and exclude people of faith from the public square.
Right, and we want to make sure that everyone knows exactly who has been involved in this line of questioning and to understand that we need to push back against the idea that faith should be kept only in one's home or in the house of worship.
Alexandria, thanks so much. Great piece of work. Rebels Without a Cause, when senators run roughshod over the no religious test clause of the U.S. Constitution. Thanks so much, Alexandra, for joining us.
Thank you.
All right, folks, you can get your copy at TonyPerkins.com, TonyPerkins.com. Okay, I want to talk about this because this is this increasing trend that is taking place. What should we do with it? All right, what should we do? How should we as Christians respond to this? And it's not just in the Senate Judiciary Committee in the United States Senate. We're seeing it at all levels. Now, it was fueled, I think, in large part by Barack Obama and his hostility toward Orthodox religious teaching. But how should we respond? It's designed to intimidate and to silence, if not exclude. All right? Because if you, I mean, I've heard it. I've heard this from attorneys saying, well, you know what? I want to be on the court someday. Therefore, I've got to be careful who I associate with, you know, for instance, going to the Blackstone Fellowship of ADF. That's intimidation. They're trying to exclude Christians from this process. So how should we respond? What do you think? 866-372-7234. How should we respond to this growing hostility toward religious freedom, Christianity? But let's just be very blunt. It's only Christians that they're going after. Catholics, evangelicals, those who actually believe and respond to the teaching of Scripture. How should we respond? Well, let me, as you're calling in, 866-372-7234, let me give you some scriptural context, because this is not something new. In fact, if you go to Acts chapter 4, you remember when the disciples, they had healed a man. The evidence of the workings of the gospel were evident. And they called them in, and, you know, these are the same crowd that crucified Jesus. They said, told them, don't speak or teach in the name of Jesus. And verse 19 of chapter 4 of the gospel, the book of Acts. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. And so when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way of punishing them because of the people. See, the left's always afraid of the people. Since they all glorified God for what had been done. Well, and when the disciples left, it's interesting what took place. They went and they had a prayer meeting. Now, they didn't pray for a way out. They didn't pray for a regime change. You know what they prayed for? They prayed for boldness and courage to speak the Word of God, to speak His Word. You see, that's where I think we should be. I think we should pray for greater boldness, because if we're bold and courageous, and we don't shrink back in the face of the threats, and we're not intimidated, but yet we boldly stand forward. And that's why I think so many people like this president, because you might disagree with him on some things, but the president is bold and courageous, and he's taking it straight to him. And I mean, I think we speak the truth. We speak it in love, but we speak the truth. Bold, courageous. 866-372-7234, 7234. Let's go to Kansas City, where Dustin is on the line. Dustin, welcome to Washington Watch.
Sir, thank you very much. I'm just curious in regards to the senators that are pushing this religious test. Are there any legal ramifications that can be put against them? Charges?
Well, that was a very good question, Dustin. That has been explored initially, especially with Sanders, who was so outspoken against Russell vote. But again, as you heard Senator Lee earlier, when I asked him about the motivation and what they're trying to do, is that they deny that there's any kind of religious test. There, as Senator Horno, that she talked to, Hirono, that this was just trying to find out what was motivating them, that they would be objective. And so they're hiding behind it. But clearly we see what it is. So ultimately, I don't think there's legal, because they're not going to admit to it. But I think it's in the hands of the voters to say enough is enough, but also in the hands of Christians to say, you know what, we're not going to be intimidated. We're going to be bold and courageous. And as the disciples did, they let the evidence of the impact of their faith speak for itself as well. As they boldly proclaimed truth, it influenced the world around them so that the other side was ultimately silenced. Dustin, thanks so much for the call. Appreciate you listening to Washington Watch. Let's go to Nathan in Mississippi. Nathan, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hey, Tony. How are you today?
I'm very well. And you?
Great, great. I just wanted to say when a nominee is being questioned and basically given this religious litmus test on there, can the nominee not simply state the Sixth Amendment to the committee and basically say, you know, I'm not going to be, you know, sit here before you and be bullied by any member of you guys. You know, you're breaking the law, basically, in giving me this religious test.
You know, Nathan, I think that that's probably going to be forthcoming, that they will quote Article 6 of the Constitution saying that, excuse me, Senator, I if I recall correctly, the Constitution says there's no religious test. I might suggest you go and read it. So what generally happens is that these nominees are, you know, as we saw in the Kavanaugh hearing, where, you know, I mean, it was brutal. Only at the end did he really start to push back. And so they're coached. They're told to go in there and just make it through this. It's like if you can survive, you know, it's like, you know, Survivor. If you can just, you know, keep from getting voted off the island and you can survive this hearing, you'll make it onto the court. So they really don't engage and become extremely defensive. But I think it's reaching a point, Nathan, and you bring up a really good point. I think it's reaching that level that you may see some nominees in the near future start doing that. And they may start getting coached by the administration to do just that. Nathan, thanks so much for the call. Appreciate you listening. Let's go to Arkansas, where Marie is on the line. Marie, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you. It's nice to be here. I just wanted to say that I'm a Christian. I'm proud of it. I don't mind telling anybody, and if they ask me, and a lot of times I tell them they don't ask me. But in this particular case, if I were part of Congress, I would admit, yes, I am. I wouldn't be afraid to. That's not what Jesus wants us to do, is to back off. I believe that he wants us to be proud of what we are and to confirm what we are. And if they don't like it, well, try to do something about it, since it's illegal. That's a fight, but it's a fight that's coming anyway.
Right.
Because
absolutely.
Not
absolutely. Marie, thank you so much. And it's not just for judicial nominees. This is what I mean about how should we deal with this, not just in the Judicial Committee of the United States Senate, but how should we deal with this as Americans, as Christians in America? Now, we should not walk around with a Jesus chip on our shoulder waiting for someone to say something so, you know, we can, you know, jump back. this is about not – well, it's kind of like Jesus, the way he handled this in the temple. Remember when he went to the temple, and this is often referred to when he overturned the tables, okay? Why did he overturn the tables? Was it because he got shortchanged by the money changers? No. Did he have – I mean, did he see somebody he had an issue with? Not personally. The issue was they had made a mockery of the house of God. You have turned what was to be a house of prayer into a den of thieves. And so he was taking action because he was jealous for the reputation of God. And so when it comes to whether or not we openly acknowledge and profess and defend the Christian faith, it's not about us. It's not so much that we're offended, but it's the fact that we can't shrink back from the fact that we follow Jesus Christ and that the teachings of Scripture influence and impact our lives. We can't hide from that, because to hide from that is to deny Him. But if we are silent, then those who do follow Him and whose lives are impacted by the teaching of Scripture, if we're silent, they'll be excluded. And so then we have laws and we have courts that are absent of any really transcendent moral truths or transcendent truths. And then as a society, we begin a very rapid spiral. So it's essential that we have light and we have salt in the halls of government and on the benches of the courts. And how does that happen unless we have Christians in those positions? No, not imposing their religious views on others, but making policies that are just and are fair and equitable because of their faith. We have no reason to apologize for who we are in Christ Jesus. In fact, all of society benefits when we embrace those truths. Even if there are those who reject them, they still benefit from the blessings that flow from the fact that we have families intact. We have people who are faithful in marriage. We have parents raising their kids, investing in the lives of others, volunteering. What does that do? That makes a society more stable, more successful. Everyone benefits. But if we allow this attack to continue and exclude people of faith, society becomes dark and desperation sets in. Folks, sorry, ran out of time. Sorry, we left a lot of folks on the board. Lord willing, we'll be back again tomorrow. I hope you will as well. Until then, I leave you with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul found in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, prepared, and taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.